Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, President Trump has signed his controversial spending bill into law. What that means for San Diego County. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. What's been called the mega bill is now mega law. Last Friday, President Trump signed into law his new tax and spending bill. But many people are worried about how the sweeping cuts to social safety net programs in the bill may impact them. District 3 County Supervisor and Acting Chair of San Diego County, Tara Lawson-Reamer, joins us to talk about those impacts and what the county's been doing to prepare. Supervisor Lawson-Reamer, welcome back to Midday.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you as always. So the House passed Trump's spending bill late last week. What were your initial reactions to hearing that news?
This is going to be devastating for healthcare and care for the homeless population in San Diego. It's going to impact all of us, not just individuals that receive Medicaid, but really everyone throughout our region. I'm worried about longer wait times to see a doctor. I'm worried about overcrowded emergency rooms. I'm worried about kids who aren't going to be able to eat because their food benefits, their SNAP benefits are going to be disappearing. So there's a real attack underway on working and middle class San Diegans, and we're doing everything we can in San Diego to figure out how to buffer for the storm.
Well, let's put numbers to this because I want to give listeners a sense of how many San Diegans depend on these programs that would see funding cuts. And that includes Medi-Cal, as you mentioned, SNAP and housing assistance. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, I mean, we have about 900,000 people in San Diego County who depend on Medicaid, nearly a third of our county. But the impacts of Medicaid are far bigger than just the individuals who receive the benefits, because at the end of the day, the hospitals have to take people no matter what if they come into the emergency room. And so when we're not adequately funding our healthcare system, it impacts all of us. And in the end, when it cuts to Medicaid, end up raising insurance costs for those who are in private insurance. So yeah, you can talk about individuals who receive those benefits, but really the impact is systemic. Same for homelessness. For example, I think all of us agree that doing more to make sure that people who are on our streets have an opportunity to get into safe housing and get back on their feet is a shared priority that all of us have been focused on for the last few years in San Diego. So when you cut housing assistance by $20, $30 million, which is what we're looking at coming down the pipeline, that impacts our streets, that impacts the fact that people are going to be seeing more homelessness. So certainly there's individuals who benefit, but really it's about all of our entire community that pays the price when these social safety net services are slashed.
People have been sounding the alarm on this for a while. At a June 24th Board of Supervisors meeting, some local groups talked about those specific impacts that they could be seeing. Here's David Estrella from Housing and Community Development Services. He talks about what the cuts could mean for housing assistance.
So a 40% cut means that there's less money available to subsidize units that would be permanently available for low-income individuals.
Also, at that same meeting, Rick Wayne, director of self-sufficiency services, warned that changing eligibility rules could cause people to lose access to programs like Medi-Cal and CalFresh.
Folks will sometimes not submit their paperwork. They can fall off the program, reapply. These create significant paperwork challenges for our customer recipients, as well as for our staff.
So you, along with Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp, have already proposed a plan in preparation for the fallout that could be coming from these spending cuts. That's been in the works since before Trump's spending bill passed. So talk a bit about that. How is the county preparing?
Yeah, well, I think first of all, big picture, we have to acknowledge that this is going to blow a hole in our county budget for really basic things like healthcare and food assistance that's in the hundreds of millions of dollars annually. So we're not going to get through this just with like a little belt tighten here and there. We're going to have to take some pretty aggressive measures to protect San Diegans from the cuts that are coming. So our plan that we put forth has two parts. One is a staffing analysis, and this is due later this month. really asked the county team to assess how many workers, how many employees are we going to need to process the surge in paperwork and to meet these new federal mandates. Because at the core, what a lot of what's happening is just like an attempt by the Trump administration to sort of kill us with red tape and drown us in red tape. And so we want to staff up so we can avoid delays and prevent families from losing their benefits that they have every right to and that they deserve just because of red tape. So that's a piece of this, is just the staffing analysis to say, how many folks do we need to make sure that all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, the paperwork gets filed on time, and that nobody loses the benefits that they deserve because of ridiculous bureaucratic hurdles that the Trump administration has put in our way. The second piece of this is a fiscal strategy, and this is going to be coming in September and really assessing how we can fund services, especially around behavioral health, healthcare, and homelessness, despite federal cuts. And we're going to be looking at every possible strategy to kind of plug that budget gap.
Do you see the county having the infrastructure in place to deal with this? Do you see the county having it in place before people are impacted by the cuts?
That's our hope. Absolutely, that's our hope. So I think my colleague and I have been sounding an alarm for 6 months now, and everywhere we turned, oftentimes people would say, well, let's wait and see. And to me, that's extremely irresponsible, right? Our job as elected leaders of this county is to get ahead of the game, to see what's coming and to make a plan so we're not caught unprepared, and just really being focused on preparedness. So that's why we passed this last month, even before the bill had become law. That's why we're looking to put the pieces in place. It's going to take a while. Like I said, it's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars of hole that we're going to be facing in San Diego County, and we're going to really have to come together to protect our residents and to protect our community from this attack by Washington. And I'll note something I've kind of been looking into, is that we in California send on average about $3,200 more to the federal government than we get back, right? That's for every person. Every single person on average spends about $3,200 more a year than we receive back. So something is not right with this equation, that's for sure. And so we're really looking at, well, how do we do a better job of, raising our own revenue here, keeping our own revenue local, having local control over our resources so we can protect our community.
Well, how are organizations coming together and how are you all working with them to help residents who are falling through the cracks?
So those are some conversations that are underway. I think a lot of our partners have been digging really deep, and we're looking at hopefully potentially some matching funds. I've definitely been receiving a lot of calls from philanthropic organizations saying they want to do what they can. Of course, when you're looking at a $400 million annual shortfall, that's a big gap, and it's hard for local philanthropy to make up that difference. That's not really realistic, but certainly lots of different organizations can each do a little bit, and we're right now kind of doing the work to figure out how to get all those boats rowing in the same direction.
Well, District 1 now has its county supervisor, and that is Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre. Now that the seat's been filled, how do you see that changing how the board votes on proposals going forward?
I think there's going to be some big changes. First of all, we put forward a proposal, the we being myself and Supervisor Montgomery Stepp, to tap our reserves as a sort of a safety cushion at this one moment. And we know it won't be enough to get us through kind of for the long haul. But if we're able to tap a couple hundred million, it could at least cushion the blow for a year or two while we put together a longer term solution. And Mayor Aguirre, Supervisor-elect Aguirre, has been really vocal in saying, hey, it's a rainy day fund and it's raining, and we need to use these resources to invest in San Diego. So I'm hopeful that our proposal to unlock our reserves and be able to use that as a buffer over the next year or two for one-time expenses will be able to go through now. I think it's going to be a lot more hopeful that we're not going to have to, resort to drastic cuts. And it's really because Mayor Aguirre has been really committed to ensuring that we don't have to make those drastic cuts.
Well, so outside of social safety net programs, what other impacts are you anticipating from funding cuts?
It's a great question. Some of these we're already feeling, right? And they're not a surprise. They sort of started just day one of the Trump administration. But for example, as a surfer and as a mom, I'm very focused on clean water and protecting our environment for our kids, especially our beaches, and been fighting really hard to tackle the Tijuana sewage crisis and clean up the sewage that's polluting our oceans. And one of the things that I proposed is to get on the Tijuana River Valley designated a Superfund site so we could get some federal dollars out here to clean it up. Well, the Trump administration has completely cut Superfund funding and drastically slashed money for the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, which runs a Superfund designation. So that's basically off the table now because we would need the EPA to do an initial study and then kind of get moving on a Superfund designation. So that sort of thing is pretty immediate. You know, I'm also worried about some of our marine areas and just kind of continuing to make sure that our water is safe. And protecting our health, because these are all, functions that the federal government has historically performed. You know, I think a couple months ago, I was sounding the alarm about $40 million that we were owed for our public health lab, so we could track and fight infectious diseases here in San Diego County that we had been awarded by the federal government and was cut by the Trump administration. And we fought pretty hard, and that went to court, and now it looks like we may get our money or we may not. You know, I think it's still TBD, but it's this kind of sort of ongoing attack on clean water, a healthy environment, ability to protect our kids from sewage, protect our health, that's also become kind of a bullseye of the administration. And we're really looking at what do we do in San Diego County to keep ensuring that our community is safe and healthy for everybody.
How can people do that on their own? Because it sounds like from the federal government to state and local government, with these type of funding cuts, they may not be able to perform at the level they were. So how should San Diegans brace themselves for the impact of these cuts?
Well, it's definitely a situation where nobody's going to be able to solve this problem alone. You know, there's not, these are community, social challenges that we really need to come together to tackle. And so the idea that, you know, anyone's going to kind of be able to dig deep and do it themselves, I think is that's just not possible at this scale. But certainly people, we can all do a better job of, you know, making sure that our friends and neighbors, checking in on them, trying to take care of them, showing up for each other, you know, those kind of basic things. And over the next couple months, I hope that we, as elected leaders of the county, are going to be able to put together some strategies that might require us digging a little deeper, here locally, maybe in our own pockets, to say, hey, we got to do a little bit more because we can't depend on the federal government right now.
Mm. You know, is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I mean, just I'm so grateful to live in an amazing community like San Diego County and to represent this community where I do feel like people are ready to come together to protect our health, our safety, to protect kids, to protect clean water, and to fight for what makes San Diego such a special place and not just throw up our hands and say, hey, we're each going to only get what's best for ourselves.
I've been speaking with District 3 County Supervisor and Acting Chair of San Diego County, Tara Lawson-Reamer. Supervisor Lawson-Reamer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting the Cream of Clapton Band, performing Unplugged and 24 Nights Revisited on July 18th at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater on campus. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.